Trying to understand who we are. Remember, the reason why we're in Golis is because Tachash El Avodas Hashem B'Simcha V'Tuv Leivov. The Simcha, we says, comes from Ava, and Ava comes from knowledge. So the more you know yourself, the more you're happy with yourself. The more you love yourself, the more you're happy with yourself. So we said we're going to take a journey. We're going to come back to this. We're going to take a journey and try and discover who we really are, netto. Not in relation to anything else, but who we really, really are, at core. Avraham Avinu, who was the one who discovered this, and we inherited it from him. Well, the one dimension of our relationship with Hashem was Boni Hashem, and the second one is Ishto. That's what we're busy looking at now. We've looked at the different aspects. Okay. We're about to enter into the sugya of Bechira, but Dama, let's go into this and we'll take this. This is where it starts getting, you start getting into Bechira, you start getting to the core of what we're living for. Okay. Daf Ein Hei. Ishtoi kegufoi Bechira Chofshis. Kaim maimed noisaf loisa kesha ava. There's another aspect to this love relationship that we have with Hashem. Umudubai be maimed omuk v'nisko. We've got a very deep, elevated subject here. Hakesha bein shnei bnei azug nikra b'fi chazal ishtoi kegufoi. There's many halachic verifications, but what is this aspect of ishtoi kegufoi, and how does it relate to itself in the marriage, which is the relationship between Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael? Avrei lechayre bitu ze eni tain klal kesher chodesh ze Hashem. Well, first of all, what is ishtoi kegufa? And second of all, what's it going to do with my relationship with Hashem? How can I be ishtoi kegufa in a relationship with Hashem? Hashem doesn't have a goof. What does it mean, ishtoi kegufa? What is it that binds me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a way that what I do, it's Keilu, he did it? Hatrula kachi yocheiles habechira chofshis. The answer to this question is the ability we have, which is called Bechira Chofshis. Anybody ever studied Bechira Chofshis in depth? Have you ever studied Bechira? Have you ever looked at Bechira, try to understand it, try to look at it, try to get in touch with what it is? Anybody here? Okay, so you know nothing about yourselves. Because all you are is Bechira. You are nothing other than Bechira. So if you don't understand what Bechira is, you know nothing about who you are. No, at least you know what you have to do now. Okay, let's go one slow step at a time here. We're going to have to take time out to discuss the subject in depth, because this is why we're here. There's no other reason for us to be here other than Bechira. Because if you're not a Bechira, you're a pigeon or a cockroach or a cow or a dolphin or a rosebud. Those all things don't have Bechira and they're here. What makes us being here worthwhile is the thing called Bechira. Otherwise, there's no reason to be here. There's a Avoida and it's a Moedika journey. So let's start getting into this a little bit. Mareches ha'achim bein ba'al le'ishtoi, al pi hashkofes ha'teiri, mareches yechasim shel shova b'shova. It's about to get worse, Paul. The relationship, according to Torah Hashkofa, the system of the relationship of a husband to a wife, is a relationship of shova b'shova. Bal einu mitzaves ishtoi velot poked aleya, vaday she'einu yoichel kapos aleya lasos es tzaydon. A husband can't command his wife, and he can't tell her what to do, and he certainly can't force her to do what he wants. If you don't know that before, you probably stick around. Hem chayim yachad chayim mishutofim. They live together, a partnered love. That doesn't mean they're equal and they both have the same job in the world. We're not talking about equality here. He's not bigger than her, she's not bigger than him. She's got her job, he's got his job. They're working together towards a common goal. But Marshall, and assume shall Knesset Yisrael in HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaimus oisam ha'reches yichasim. In the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that exists as well, kaviyachol. Where? In Bechira Chofshi. Lo hu gadol mimenu, ve lo hi gadoli mimenu. ishtoi kagufa. Oisa yecheles bechira, that power, that ability of bechira that we have, gedoylev in his gover, great and elevated and beyond our grasp, sheiskinu bo betchiles dvoreinu, hi hamavtech lekesha nesui. That is the key to marriage. It's that power that Adam Arishon used to destroy the world. Adam Arishon Bechira, and he used it. Adam Arishon's Bechira, if you would have looked at the Nisoyin he had, and you were a betting man, you would have betted on it that he would have made the test. Yeah? We're still trying to understand how he did it. When you put all the facts into a computer and ask the computer, what are the chances of Adam Rishon getting it wrong? The chances are very small. So he had Bechira, he didn't have Bechira. On the one hand, there's just hang around for another few minutes and Shkia will come in, it'll be Shabbos and Mashiach will be, and you'll have came into the world to do what you did, and the world will all go back to its glory and you'll get all the reward. Yeah? Or eat from eight sadas, play around, destroy the world and go through 6,000 years of Gehenna. That's called Bechira. It's called Bechira. That's called Bechira. The fact that the one path is ridiculously obvious a wrong path, and the other one is obviously the right path, doesn't stop that from being Bechira. So Adam Rishon had Bechira. What did he use his Bechira for? Destroy the world. The Moshe says, Kol HaSibashem Lalesis Kay. Zaisi Yechelet Bechira Shebo Tishtamesh Abram Avinu. Because if it's not Michadish, it's Oilam. What did Avraham Avinu do? Put into the computer Avraham Avinu's chances of success. Efes. Absolutely no hope of succeeding. He had everything going against him. He had the entire world against him. All the koichos of government against him. His own father was against him. And what chance did he have of surviving, of succeeding? And yet, he used his power of Bechira to rebuild the world and to recapture what Adam Rishon lost. Did what? Chetah Egel. How did they do that? Koyach HaBechira. They did an Egel Azav. Rocked to the front of Rome. Eilei Lekech Yisrael. Asher Eilech Meretz Mitzrayim. How did you do that? Never saw a giraffe doing that.
But we say it's a Ruach Shtut. That means...
We'll get to Ruach Shtut. That's also got to be understood with Bechira. Huh? That's what I'm saying. You never saw giraffe dancing around a golden calf saying, "You my God." You never saw giraffe pretending to be a lion. Giraffes wrote it. They were putting the world into it. Bechira. Talisol has Bechira. And therefore they can use that Bechira to dance around a golden calf and say, "This is the God that took me out of Israel." Whatever that means. We don't understand what they did, but whatever. That Bechira to see Hashem. So Hashem to be revealed themselves, to die twice and be revived twice. Hearing the word of Hashem caused them to die, to get revived, and a few days later to be over the golden calf. Bechira. We have to learn from them, and we can learn from them. The things we don't understand, but whatever we can learn from it, we have to learn from it. V'achein ha'nefesh nisaros. Achrei sheniv kolyoni v'tachtoni v'ro kulam shu yichidi. Achrei sheshoma es kol Hashem adabe imen ponim v'ponim mitoich ha'esh. The world stopped, the heavens opened, they saw everything. Hashem spoke to them ponim v'ponim. Keitzim noflu mi igre rama lebira mikosu kuzu. How did they go from up there to down here? Rabbeinu came along and broke the luchos. Maase Elokim. You can destroy Maase Elokim with your Bechira. Do you understand that? Maase Elokim, something that Hashem created, you can destroy it. Pella. Huh? If you press the red button, you can destroy the physical world. You can create some kind of nuclear holocaust, but you can't destroy the world. What Klal Yisrael did when they were dancing around the golden calf, they were destroying the world, really, not the physical world. They were destroying the reason why the world was created. Destroy the physical world is not a big deal. Destroy the physical world. You can and you can't. Hashem doesn't want you to destroy the physical world. You want to destroy the physical world. But the spiritual world, the ruchnistika world, the person can destroy that. Horaya, that's what Adam Rishon did. Plunged us into 6,000 years of darkness that we're struggling to get out of. We were there, by the way. You can't punish me because of what Adam Rishon did. We were all there. Adam Rishon was the kailin of the whole human race. Therefore, we're part of Adam Rishon. We all have a little bit of Adam Rishon floating around in us. That's why we have to work for a living. The color of Gzeis HaPecha was given to Adam Rishon. So why is it kosher alive? Why do I have to work? I didn't eat the apple or whatever it was. It wasn't an apple. Whatever it wasn't an apple. Because I have three opinions. No one says apple. Huh? Fruitcake, yeah. It was all three lamais. Anyway. Why do I have to make ishtadlis? Gzeis HaPecha is a klala. You've got to go to work because of a curse. Interesting, people are proud of their work. Are you proud of being cursed? Who goes off to work proud to be a whatever he is? Rav Dessler says this. Nothing to do with our subject, but this is ridiculous. It's something you should do quietly and privately without bragging too much about it. You've been cursed. Why are you happy about your ishtadlis? Ishtadlis is a curse. Okay. That's a separate subject. Remind me to talk about it sometime. Important subject as well. But guys are sitting and learning Torah. I don't want to bash the ishtadlis. You've got to make ishtadlis, but not the way people do things today.
But that's like saying a woman shouldn't get pregnant because
she should get pregnant. Sure, I have this argument with my wife the whole time. So into this, she's a doula and she's a natural birthist or whatever. And I have this discussion all the time. She doesn't like it, so I don't speak about it anymore. Okay. But in Achinami, yeah, all this like, you know, painless birth and all this whatever. Who says?
No, but just getting pregnant in the first place, so they're...
No, you have a chiyuv. The Torah says you have to have children. A woman doesn't have a chiyuv. By the way, she doesn't have a chiyuv. That's why she puts a mishugas in her head to make her want to. Because she has no chiyuv. She's not mechayev in the mitzvah. She's not mechayev in the mitzvah of prurim.
So she shouldn't complain about the pain. You should just tell her, you know...
No, you should try and minimize it as much as possible. Take an epidural. What are you... Chasson Khalil, which speaks up sharp courses. I'm sorry. My wife's not here. You'll burn this before you get home. No, I'm just saying that there is this aspect of, you know, natural birth. I'm not talking about natural birth, I'm talking about pain-free birth. What do you mean? You know, you put it through all the pain and the suffering.
But then what? That epidural.
Have an epidural.
Why?
There's no pain. That's why are you bragging?
The pain. That's their
But the problem suffering. Is, Chava's curse didn't just apply to having babies and being pregnant. It's the entire process of raising children, the pain of them and getting up in the middle of the night. And it's not just the... Okay, but... Yeah, okay.
My wife complains I'm not doing enough to help out with the kids. I can say this is your chelik from
Chava. No, because they're your children, and you have a chiyuv min haTorah to bring them up and raise them, and all she's doing is chesed to help you. If she wants to lie on her back the whole day on the couch talking to a friend on the phone, that's what she's allowed to do.
I was
going to
say for last month, sorry.
Actually,
Rebbe,
according to that logic...
Whoa, I don't want to get involved in
it. Isn't it Zeis HaPecha or something, you eat your bread or something? I don't know
the exact process. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your bread.
So then if
no, you have to do the curse. I'm not saying don't do it. You have to do it.
I know, but I don't understand what Rav Dessler is trying to say, because if you're saying
don't go out there bragging about the ishtadlis you're doing. You do it privately.
Okay, so you should eat privately too. You should never
have. Yes, in Achnami, the Gemara says somebody who eats in public is going to kill it.
With your mishpah, which you're with.
No,
your
mishpah, once again,
you should just go in the corner.
Whoa! When you want to understand what is? Stop. Whenever you want to understand the subject, you have to understand the principles and the underlying foundations upon which the subject's built.
That's interesting.
One second. So I can't start asking questions 20 steps into the subject. We haven't even learned the foundations yet. Right. One second. Okay. In Achinami, the more physical, the more bodily something is, the more we tend to do it privately. Correct?
Probably, yeah.
Spiritual things we do publicly. We daven in a minyan, we learn in a big room. No one says, you know, you're not gonna lock yourself up in a room with three locks and go sit and learn. You do it publicly. The more physical something is, the more privately you do it. Ishtadlis is the same thing. The more privately you can do your ishtadlis, and the more tzenu live your physical life, the better. And it wasn't long ago where people knew this. Our grandparents didn't draw fleshy face. A millionaire 100 years ago didn't live like any middle class person living in America today. They knew how to live tenuously. They had a lot of money. I remember in South Africa, they were multi-millionaires. They drove old Santa cars. You know, their offices were dusty and plain and whatever. When the kids inherited the business, they started, you know, refurbishing. You know, 20-story glass buildings with their names in flashing lights or whatever. That's what Rav Dessler's talk. You've got to make a panosa. You've got to make an ishtadlus. You've got to make a panosa. You've got to eat. You've got to live. You've got to live a normal life. A person needs a house. He needs to get married. He needs to have children. You've got to clothe them. You've got to buy them bicycles. You've got to live a normal life. But why are you bragging about the thing? That's a curse. The least amount can make the better. And why are you making a big ASIC out of it? A curse. You have to do it. A curse is a curse. You have to pay tax. Why pay tax? It's a curse. Everybody pays tax. But they pay as little as possible. Nobody pays more tax than they have to. No one goes off to the IRS or whatever you want to call the guy that and volunteers to pay more than he has to. That's why there's tax lawyers and accountants. Everyone's trying to how to pay less tax. The Mesillas Yesharim says Yishtadlus is a tax. So you pay as little as possible. And no one goes off the IRS bragging about how much tax he paid this year. There's a certain gaiva in being heavily taxed as well, I suppose. Big Veer told me there's a shtickel gaiva in giving stocker. There's a guy I've been giving stocker. The fact that I have money and I can give stocker, there's a guy I've been that as well. There's a guy I've been paying a lot of tax also. Who can afford it? But the guy's worth $50 billion and you'll hire a lawyer to get him off a $5,000 tax fine. Why? Because you don't pay more than you have to. So this is a tax. Anyway, that's not our subject at all. Bichlal not. You can delete everything I've said from when we started talking about. Okay, about to learn amazing, amazing Gemara. Dvarim, Mikshvayne Shalayim Golilanu Chazal, Bakesh Leisa Rega. The breaking of the Luchais, the Shviras Haluchais, Chazal tell us what went on there. Let's try and understand the Shtikl Chazal here. The Alam Adaf Mechorashah. You've got the Magad, it's not small, but the Manashah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu after he's broken the luchos, what did he say? Yofi asita sheshevato. Well done, beautiful that you broke them. Hashem's very happy with Moshe Rabbeinu that broke the luchos. Rav Shmuel ben Nachman b'shem Rav Yonason says Rav Shmuel ben Nachman in the name of Rav Yonason. Haluchos hayochen shisha tvochim v'reifan shleisha. The luchos were 6 tvochim by 3 tvochim. Little guys, but these big things you see in the Christian posters. Yeah, the little square block.
I thought they were square.
Yeah, the square, little square.
Six by three?
No, 6 by 3. They weren't square, they were rectangular. I'll tell you what the Gemara says. Vayemoshe tofes betvochayim. Moshe held on to the bottom 2 tvochim. Vakonosh bochu betvochayim. Betvochayim revach beemtza. Moshe held the bottom 2 tvochim. Hashem held the 2 top tvochim. And there was 2 tvochim in the middle empty. Why need to tell me then? I can't work it out myself. Good. Kiven Shaos Yisrael Oisamaisa, since Panishal did that terrible deed, Beka Shakarosh Bochu Lechaitfe Miyadashal Moshe. Hashem wants to grab the Luchais away from Moshe. The Gavri Yadashal Moshe, the Chotfa Mimeno. Moshe Rabbeinu overpowered Hashem and ripped the Luchais away from Hashem. There's a terrible battle, this cosmic battle going on there. Hashem trying to grab the Luchais from Moshe, and Moshe trying to get the Luchais back from Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu overpowers Hashem and gets them. Hashem says, peace to you, the hand that overpowered me. It's a Yerushalmi in Tainus, you can go have a look in Perek Dalet. Okay, so it shuts on this Gemara. Let's try and ask a few questions. Ask 4 questions. First of all, Ketzad Hayemoshe Rabbeinu Oiz Lizvikuch Im Hashem. Where did Moshe get the lozus, the chutzpah, to argue with Hashem? Please, can I have the luchos back? No, you're out of your mind. I'll give you back the luchos. What do you mean? Klal Yisrael did the chet ha'egel. Hashem says to Moshe, I'll give you back the luchos. If Hashem's asked luchos, that's what's best, no? Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I'm not giving you back the luchos. Where did he get the chutzpah to do that from? Second of all, Ketzad u'netzeach, k'v'yochel ezabayru. How did he win? How did he overpower Hashem? Hashem doesn't want to give you the luchos, you've got no chance. So Hashem says, I'm taking the luchos, you can. Kodesh Baruch Hu turned Moshe Rabbeinu into a piece of stone in 1 nanosecond. Moshe Rabbeinu wins. But do Moshe Rabbeinu rotze lekach the luchos miyad Hashem? Right? Klal Yisrael shuv eli roim lekablam. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want the luchos? He understood that Klal Yisrael weren't right for them. Pariah, he's not going to give them to Klal Yisrael. He wants to take them, to break them. Let's give them back to Hashem. You'll do something, you'll find something to do with them. Take a nice piece of hand carved, Hashem carved stone and break it. Give it back to Hashem. And fourthly, Moshe, Koi Chofetz Beluch, Esad Shemuch, and Lava, Kiliyoch, and Moshe, Oilam, Moshe, Madu, and Shomerotam. If Moshe so badly wanted the luchos that he's prepared to fight with Hashem, why break them? And fifthly, Gamokan Yesh Lavin Madua Melkosh Bochu Achakach Yosha Koyach. If Hashem wanted Moshe to take them and break them, why are you fighting to take them away from him? Just Yosha Koyach, well done that you broke them. So I understand. You fight with me not to give them to me. I win, I get them, I break them. And you say, well done. This is a Gemara. Okay. Then I say the bias at Vori Bemsus Moshe. The Melech Shenose Isha Pshuta. We have a king. He decides to marry a common woman. Vuftiach lan lo, lifnei nusui, sheberege shi tinose lo, harei kamoi le kol dova. And he promised her, the minute we get married, you like me in every aspect. Koichi kakoicha verei shi si laisus kakol ha shekofa. You have all the power that I have. The whole Medina is like mine. You own it. You can do whatever you want with the Medina, exactly the same as I can do with the Medina. You and me. You like the king? The king and the new queen are standing under the chuppah. All the guests are standing around. What do you imagine? This was quite a chasana. This wasn't a 50 shekel a head chasana. This was a 75 shekel a head chasana. Who Moshe's law is Tabat HaKedushim, and he gives her the Tabat HaKedushim, he puts his hand out to give her. He Moshe's etzpe kedei lekabla, she sticks out her finger to get the ring. Ulepetach toikach, yorekes hakala bifnei achosel. At the moment that he's about to give her the ring, she spits at him. Venoichach achutz ba'oz she'ovro eskulak v'lois, ro'etz achosel lekachas es ha-tabat pa'kozolo bat ha-kedushim. Understandable, the Chosin who's a melech and she's a commoner at that point wants to take the ring back and cancel the kiddushin about the kiddushin. So, that's how you behave. Ula makale mitametzes loches betabat. She's holding on to the ring, she ain't giving it back. Ve'enu manichalo litulei samimeni. She doesn't even take it. At the end of the day, the color won, she held on to the ring. The ring is in my hand and I'm your spouse. She takes the tabat, she throws it on the floor, she tramples it and she breaks it. I don't know how you do that, but she broke the golden ring, whatever, maybe it was a glass ring, I don't know what it is. It has to be a shovel fruit, it doesn't have to be worth it. She breaks the ring. Why did she do this? What was she thinking? This was worked out before. This was carefully planned. She wasn't doing the chafetz because she wanted to be the chutzpah. She wasn't spitting at her future husband because she wanted to destroy the relationship. She wanted to achieve a particular goal. Hamalke lo osi nanyenes lebchoyin at kamitim ein divrei. She wanted to check how true, how real is the king with that promise that he promised me, that I'll be equal to him in every aspect. I'm a commoner, lived in some village, whatever. The king of the universe comes and drags me out of my little hut and wants to marry and tells me, you got everything. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. So what's she doing? Gonna test it. Can I really do whatever I want? Really? I have complete free will in the way that I'm going to now conduct myself in this malchus. She decides, she's going to test it, she's going to prove it. And she works out this plan, she's going to spit in front of the chosu. Hachira, do I really have? Do I really have Bechira? Everybody here sitting here doubts that we have Bechira. The Goyim doubted it so much that they deny we have Bechira. Don't have Bechira. And it's very hard to believe that we have Bechira because al pisfar, it's impossible to have Bechira. It's impossible. Bechira is an impossible subject. That's why there's so much discussed and written about it. You can't have Bechira. Because to have the Bechira, you have to do something connected to the Rotzen Hashem. And it's impossible to do something connected to Rotzen Hashem because there's nothing that's connected to Rotzen Hashem. Everything is only Rotzen Hashem. So how are you going to do something connected to Rotzen Hashem? To have Bechira, I have to be able to do something connected to the Rotzen Hashem. Nachon? If I can only do the Rotzen Hashem, then I don't have Bechira. I'm just doing what I'm programmed to do, the Rotzen Hashem. Is there anything in the world that's not Rotzen Hashem? Everything's Rotzen Hashem. If Hashem created the world, Yeshmi Ayin, nothing exists in the world that's not Rotzen Hashem. To do something connected to Rotzen Hashem, you'd have to step out of reality. Bechira means I can step out of reality and still be in reality. No, so you go, you prepare to sign on the bottom line, you prepare to buy into that business. Bechira is something that you can only achieve and have a hunger and an understanding of Bechira by discovering that through your own das in yourself. Yes.
Why does the Rav say that everything in the world is Ratzon Hashem?
Well, you explain to me how you could have something that's Yesh Mi'ayin, created by Kodesh Baruch Hu, that exists, that's not his Ratzon.
I mean, isn't that what the Torah is for, to tell us what
that's after Bechira. After we have Bechira, there are things in the world that are not the Rotzen Hashem, because there's a thing called Bechira.
After Bechira, there are things in the world
that happen that are not the Rotzen Hashem. You smoked on Shabbos. That's connected to the Rotzen Hashem.
Okay.
But before Bechira, there's before nothing that's Bechira, connected to the Rotzen Hashem.
Before Bechira, before the world was created?
No. Before, there's a thing called Bechira in the world. If there was no Bechira, let me rephrase. I'm not talking chronologically before. If there's no Bechira in the world, you could never do anything connected to the Rotzen Hashem. Same way as a cow can't do anything connected to the Rotzen Hashem, a malach can't do anything connected to the Rotzen Hashem because they don't have Bechira. You're programmed to do a certain thing. The only thing that has Bechira that can do something connected to the Rotzen Hashem is a Jew. We're trying to understand how you can do something connected to the Rotzen Hashem and still exist.
Nachash.
We have to understand the Nachash. That was the Yetzirah. Could be he was doing the Rotzen Hashem as well.
He got punished though.
Correct. Same as the moon got punished because he complains they got smaller. Good, that's another good. I'm not saying not, but just that's a separate subject. I said there's a certain opinion that holds they have Bechira, but since they see the reality so clearly they don't have Bechira. But Rav Yishanimal, they don't have Bechira at all. So leave scratch Malachim off my example of cows and giraffes and park town prawns, okay?
We'll see. If something gets bigger in Torah, then they should have less Bechira.
In academic.
Yes?
Up to the point where you should use your Bechira to get rid of your Bechira. The ultimate act of Bechira is to give up your Bechira. David HaMelech was the last person we're aware of that was able to do that. In Achinami, yeah. Okay, but once again, we were just starting the subject slowly. To learn the Sugya of Bechira, you have to have all the fundamentals in place. If you want to do it quickly, take out Rabbi Tetz's new book. He just wrote an incredible piece of work. It's a must read on free will, destiny, predestination, the whole Sugya of Bechira. Fantastic Sugya. And ultimately, Bechira is a function of Das. You can't discover Bechira in books. You have to discover it in your own inner reality. Same as your own existence has to be discovered inside yourself through your own Das inner reality experience. You can't discover Bechira outside. You can only discover it inside. But that's another subject, how you do that. We'll do that in that session. Goes back to your subject. If Hashem created the world, Yesh Mi'ayin, and He's continuing to keep the world going and creating it, Yesh Mi'ayin, every moment, nothing can exist that isn't the Rotzen Hashem. Is that clear? If that's not clear, then we can't stop.
Everything exists that's Ratzon Hashem, fine.
There's nothing in this world that's not Ratzon Hashem, because the only reason it's here is because Hashem's willing it into existence.
Oh, okay.
So how do I do something that's connected to Ratzon Hashem? In a world where there can't be anything that's not Ratzon Hashem. That's the mystery of Bechira.
No, Hashem set up a world with rules. If you do A, this happens. If you do B, that
that's
happens.
All Ratzon Hashem.
He wants those to do rules, A, not B.
Those rules are all Ratzon Hashem.
So
if you pour water on fire, the fire goes out. Hashem set up a world with natural rules.
Okay, so when you say...
So that's all Ratzon Hashem.
So you're defining Ratzon Hashem as the fact that it's in existence means that Hashem is willing it to be. Not that it's actually His desire, so to speak, or His...
What?
Meaning, he wants me to pick A,
one second, one at a time.
Meaning it's His Ratzon Hashem, but in the sense that He's making it exist. But the fact that we have a Torah that tells us that this is what you should do and shouldn't do, isn't if you do what you shouldn't do, while it is in theory Ratzon Hashem in the sense that it's in existence by Ratzon Hashem. It's not really what he would prefer that a Jew does. That's where I'm a little confused. Like, the Rav's defining Ratzon Hashem is the fact that it's in existence is Ratzon Hashem. You're right. He's willing it into existence. But the fact that you have Bechira between Ra and Tov, the Ra seemingly, while it in theory is Ratzon Hashem, it's not what he wants you to do.
You're mixing up two subjects here. I'm talking pre-Bechira. That there's nothing in the
What's
world that's
pre-Bechira?
Ratzon Hashem. Where there's, have a world where there's no Bechira.
Okay.
Imagine a world with no Bechira.
Okay, so pre...
Could in that world anybody do something connected to Ratzon Hashem?
No.
No. Now there's a world, inject Bechira into the world.
Okay.
Now you have the ability to do something connected to Ratzon Hashem.
Okay, fine.
But that's impossible because you have a world where you can't do anything against the Ratzon Hashem. And now you put something in the world that can go against the Ratzon Hashem called Bechira. How does Bechira allow you to go against the Ratzon Hashem and still stay in reality? When to do something against the Ratzon Hashem takes you out of reality.
Bechira, it's also the
Ratzon
of HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Yes.
Yeah,
Hashem gave us Bechira. We're trying to understand how it works. It's an impossibility, Bechira.
So how does it work?
Good, we're going to start. That's what we're starting to understand. We're starting to learn one of the biggest subjects there is to be learned in Torah, the subject of Bechira.
Worst part about the series
ends. Just give me the synopsis how it works.
We live in a finite world. What can I do?
I feel like I'm going to run a double marathon.
If this didn't end, we would learn Gemara, then we'd really be in trouble. Thank you,
Rabbi, in one sentence, what's the simple explanation of how it
works? There's no one simple explanation. Explain to me how future commodity trading works, like in three words.
No, but you could
say... No, come on, it's simple. Simply explain to me Bechira.
Maybe there's different realms in closenesses, so to speak, of reality to Hashem.
First we have
to
understand...
The more that you're removing, but it's still Ratzon Hashem.
First we have to understand what Bechira is. We have to get the fundamental principles. We have to get everything into place. We have to understand what Bechira is, where Bechira works, how it works, what its limitations are, what its boundaries are. And then we can start dealing with the what-ifs.
Okay,
the
but
same
the question,
as in Halacha.
Okay, fine, but the question
is... Can't ask me to pass in a shal in Hilchas Nida if I don't know what the father of Tzatzot Blado.
So the question is, the fact that if something wasn't Ratzon Hashem, it wouldn't be in existence.
Correct.
So the fact that we have Bechira doesn't really make sense.
Correct.
Because you can't really choose to do something not negative Ratzon Hashem because it wouldn't be in existence if it wasn't.
Correct. And Orai, we see people doing a lot of things that are connected to Ratzon Hashem and they don't just fizzle out of existence. How does it work?
Great question.
Oh!
Great question.
Hashem, I wanted you to have the question. Thank you.
I didn't even understand that.
There's a question that's been plaguing philosophers. Okay, that the Catholic Church holds that you don't have Bechira. That's why their Messiah has to come and get you off the hook. You can't get off the hook. You never saw somebody going into the parish, you know, and saying, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. And the parish priest saying to him, you know, it's the third time you've been here this month, you know, maybe we want to do something about this. You ever seen a priest do that? No, I've never seen him. I've never heard of a priest do that. I don't know. I watched a few movies where, you know, the guy comes into the parish and he says, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. You know, confession.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No Catholic priest ever turned around to somebody and said, you know, maybe you want to go see a psychologist. Maybe you want to go for help. You know, maybe you want to do tshuva. Because you can't do tshuva. Because to be able to change, you need to be able to have bechira. So that's why their redeemer has to come and redeem you, because you can't redeem yourself. We Jews say that the redeemer is not going to come till we redeem ourselves. Bechira has been plaguing philosophers for years. On simple, Bechira is simple. You have a choice. You do this, you do that. When you start going more and more into Bechira, you start understanding what that's it. Rav Dessler wrote, to the best of my knowledge, at least three fundamental essays on this subject, which were almost mutually contradictory. Rav Tatz's work, by the way, is a classic.
What's it called?
Rav Tatz's Sefer. Free will, destiny, and free whatever. I don't know. Free will. It's a grey, thin liquor. I'm telling you now, it's an all-time classic.
Okay.
The grandchildren are going to learn that book and go, hopefully, and are going to go, wow, he must have been something out the door. Because that sefer is it's a masterpiece. He's taken together complex sugyas from all over the Torah. It should be flying around here. Ask Rabbi Smiles.
What?
He doesn't ask Rabbi Smiles.
Who's Rabbi Smiles?
Get a laugh, kid. Where are you living?
I don't know.
Everyone knows Rabbi Smiles. Okay, I'll show you. He was blonzing around here now.
The lights are on, he can't be here.
No, the light's on. If the lights are off here, Rebel Smiles is sitting there.
Oh, the guy with the long beard?
The brown beard and that's some strange smile. Stuff. Yeah, he's a bit of a whatever. He's a bit of an out-the-door kind of a guy with a heart of gold. And he has a Yetzer Hara to buy books.
So all these Sfarim are his. He just bars and bars and bars. And if you, he finds me up before this month starts, ask me what we're learning, so he can buy the Sfarim that are relevant to this month. And ask him to do that.
Who's Shira Sfarim?
His wife.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay. Yeah. I've heard of her.
Yeah, she's famous. She's a big Magide Shires, whatever you call a female Magide Shires.
Okay, cool.
Slowly, slowly. Let's do this one small step at a time.
All right. That's great. Thank you.
As much easier not to have a chira, I can tell you now.